Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the IDEA podcast, brought to you by the Irish Development Education Association. I'm your host, Maximiliana Mtenga. In today's episode, we are exploring global citizenship education in Latvian context. We will be discussing the unique challenges, emerging opportunities, and how a new global citizenship education network is being developed in Latvia in collaboration with us here in Irish Development Education Association through the Erasmus Plus project titled Global Citizenship Education, Code of Good Practice and Community of Practice, Ireland and Latvia. And today we have two brilliant guests. Our first guest is Laura Bozinska, who is the event and project manager at Riga Stradins University. Laura also works with Green Liberty, an organization in Latvia, which aims at raising awareness among social and environmental implications of current trends in consumerism, trade and globalization, empowering people to make meaningful decisions connected with their lives. Our second guest is Paula Anskena, who is the head of education and sustainability at the Latvian Platform for Development Corporation, known as LAPAS. LAPAS is a development platform that connects people, communities, organizations, different industries and sectors for sustainability. Welcome, Laura and Paula, and thank you very much for being here. To begin our conversation, and if I could start with Laura, could you please share a little bit about your work and how you became involved in global citizenship education in Latvia?
Basically, it's like I was studying my master's in inclusive pedagogy. I was doing my master's thesis in Spain, where I was observing one school, which was like an inclusive school for kids who used wheelchairs. So seeing this, how in inclusive work, not only just intercultural theories, but actually just like intercultural as itself, like affect children in everyday life. For example, there was this observation that when local teachers meet the kids, they just come and kiss them on the cheeks. While in Latvia, in the same time, we have this like 1 meter distance as itself. And then it's like person who looks different and it's like 1.5 or 2 meters distance. So it's already like physical distance. But then in these observations, I see how just culture and just being like more closer and more sociable actually affects people. So yeah, and since then, I also have been here and there. I was doing voluntary service in Turkey. So I became interested and Erasmus Plus projects basically more closer, because through them I found out about global citizenship education and also peace education, which is also super close to my heart. And that's how I ended up also at one point together with Green Liberty colleagues going to remote municipalities in Latvia and teach about GCE for teachers. And so here I am basically still wondering. I have been on and off with projects with GCE as the topic is harsh, and sometimes I just need and I have the privilege to take a deep breath and step out. And now I'm here.
Okay, that's very interesting. Okay. And now moving to Paula, what are some of the key experiences you've had in promoting global citizenship education in Latvia compared to other European contexts, and in particular, the practice and the culture context of it?
Firstly, I need to explain the historical background so that you would understand where we stand in terms of global citizenship education. The Republic of Latvia was proclaimed in 1918 and remained independent until 1940s, when the Soviet Union annexed the country. And following 51 years of occupation, we re-established our independence in 1991. In the first year of independence, we were struggling in terms of our economy whilst also trying to build a new democracy. And civic participation needed to be nurtured, and the country was a recipient of international assistance from different sources to facilitate transition and development. However, after joining the EU in 2004, Latvia transitioned from being an aid recipient to becoming a donor. So you have to understand that it's been only 20 years that we have been practicing this mentality of being able to give, not only to receive. And secondly, in Latvia, global citizenship education stems out of environmental activism. The liberation from the Soviet Union was closely tied to social and environmental activism, as environmental matters merged with political aims during protests against plans for the metro being built in Riga, as well as hydroelectric mill dam being constructed in Latvia's second largest city, Daugavpils. And there was enormous public response. The Environmental Protection Club went on to become one of the most influential mass movements in the region. So we have the strong background of environmental activism that is awesome, and it explains a lot of our connection to nature. And then we are trying to practice democracy. But these 50 years of occupation has made some big scars on our understanding of ourselves, of our nation, and our identity. And the global citizenship education in its core asks from an individual to comprehend the importance of our individual actions. And we're trying to practice democracy, to bring the values of democracy into our daily lives, to have them as our own values, whilst trying to grasp the bigger idea of who we are. With all of this, what I wanted to say is that we are at the very beginning of having GCE understood by the general public. It's easier to grasp the environmental activism, but mentally we are not there yet to understand our role as equal global partners. Of course, there are bubbles where equality, equity, solidarity, human rights, and the other GCE values and topics are everyday conversational things. And it's not like nothing has been done. Our organization has been working with GCE since 2004. So there is a generation that has been brought up with us and our actions in the background, but we still have a lot to do.
Thank you so much, Paula, for such an important insight into global citizenship education practice in the Latvian context. So if you are to add in Laura, could you talk to us about the perspective from higher education and student engagement and when you are involved with the Green Liberty organization?
Yes. For a few years, as I told you, I was a student at the University of Latvia. And there I knew that there is global citizenship education. We took place almost every year, with collaboration with Inga Beloso, who was like main host, and then she invited also organization who represented the teachers in higher education and also Green Liberty, and they had this space each year where they invite teachers from all over Latvia to participate in activities during this week. And then also we have Daugavpils University, which is also part of LAPA's GCE network. And there are also colleagues who are working with students there. So it depends, I think, from even though it's like university, it's still depending on like personalities who are involving people in different activities. And as I know, nowadays in a bachelor's course, there is possibility for teachers to learn about sustainable education as well. So that's something what is happening.
Thank you so much, Laura. I would now like to direct these questions to Paula. As LAPAS is currently building a new global citizenship education network with the support from IDEA through the Erasmus Plus project, could you tell us more about this initiative and what it hopes to achieve?
Yeah, of course. So LAPAS has partnered with IDEA on a Erasmus Plus project titled Global Citizenship Education, Code of Good Practices and Community of Practice Ireland and Latvia. And we're working together to enhance the quality of GCE on local, national, and European levels. This is a small-scale partnership that will run till the end of this year, and it is funded from the Erasmus Plus program. The project itself has four main activities. So the first is to develop the Code of Good Practice here in Latvia and the pilot this code. Then there is setting up a code task group in Ireland to strengthen the already existing code. Then the third aim is to promote the code at local, national, and European levels. And the fourth is meetings between Latvian and Irish communities, sharing experiences, and yeah, just in the end to get to know each other, to talk to like-minded people, and to broaden our understanding of GCE. So what has already happened is that we had this meeting in Riga in March, where a delegation from IDEA provided a training for our newly established GCE practitioner network. And then starting from March, we have had regular meetings and check-ins with our new practitioner network. We have had our first bilateral call where two LAPAS member organizations, Klubs Mājas and Cita Daugavpils, gave an insight of two topics, polarization and migration and militarization. And of course, we have had regular check-ins between LAPAS and IDEA staff. In June, we visited Dublin. Laura was with me to this visit and for two-day learning and exchange visit hosted by IDEA, where we attended the IDEA Code Network meeting. And the following day, we had a project meeting, and also we went to visit ECO UNESCO organization that is one of IDEA's member organizations. That gave us really nice presentation of how they are implementing the code of good practice into their work, and what do they do to reach the youngsters and to teach and be mentors for in a GCE field of work. So right now, most of the people that has been involved in the project are having their summer vacations. So not that many things are happening, but we are working on the adoption of our code. We're planning different kind of meetings for our network, both online and face-to-face, and between the project partners and for piloting of the code. So the plan is to have another two bilateral calls to have our network meetings, that we get to use to our code of good practice, and that we go into depth of each of the principles, and to have the piloting going on. And then in the end of November or beginning of the December, we will have our final online meeting where we will celebrate these results of our project.
Thank you so much, Paola. And if you could jump in, Laura, can you share how universities and educators from Green Liberty are engaging with the IDEA network and how important it is to do so?
It's always important to think global, act local, as we know. So it's very important to see the practices in other places and see what can be implemented locally. So that's also what's happening with this. For Green Liberty, we have very many international projects, as our funding is international. So we are collaborating in many different fields regarding this. So actually regarding, for example, different topics, we are really learning from, and also actually people are learning from us, because, for example, in environmental issues, for example, sustainability and farming and the permaculture and everything, Latvia is like super green. Usually I joke with my friends, if you want to get lost in the forest, Latvia is the place. And actually, when we talk about nature and greenness, we are super green. Sometimes when I go outside Latvia, even to Spain or somewhere, I just want to take water bottle with me and water everything, because I just feel like space around needs more water. But just because I come from a place which is like super green and where it rains a lot. So there are these practices which Latvians take for granted, but actually like other people should come and study from us, because we are really like leaders in this. And the question is like, do we see ourselves also as like sharing, especially in the context, for example, of degrowth? And because this is the problem, that everybody wants to live like some kind of big developing countries, but in the same time, we are ruining our planet if we want to live like that. So question is like how we can get the practices which really somehow helps the community and nature globally and locally. So yeah, I think it's not only learning from others, but also like having this agency that we also have. We have things that we can give to others.
So now, Paola, what opportunities do you see for strengthening global citizenship education in Latvia, especially through collaborations with the European partners? And of course, this can stem from the partnership that we have here in IDEA with you guys through the Erasmus Plus project.
Yeah, so even if this is a small scale partnership, there is an impact. For us, it has been a great starting point for something big to grow out of this, and having IDEA as a mentor to build up a new network, and at the same time to adapt the code of good practice, to hear and to learn from the stories of IDEA organizations that has been implementing the code for years. It all has enabled us to dream and to work on GCE development here in Latvia, to go to the next level, to set a new standard, but in a way where we based all the development stages into our newly made GCE network. I don't think that our partnering or collaboration will with IDEA and its members will end with this project. You have such a huge history and experience of practicing GCE in Ireland that there is a lot to learn from. So I think that we will continue to reach out to you regarding GCE development and implementation. And I can only hope that we can bring some needed or refreshing perspective into GCE to you as well.
Yeah, that is very interesting, Paola. And as we know now, in the 21st century, we see that young people have been at the forefront of being activists and voicing out their opinions and asking questions about a lot of things that are happening currently in the world. So if I could ask you now, Laura, how do you see student voices and activism playing a role in shaping global citizenship education in Latvia?
We had a very interesting conversation with one organization in Ireland. Maybe Paula can help me remember the name of it, because they were also working very close to youth, and we brought up this question, like how high the youth activism was before pandemia, and now actually is it like in the same level or more down, or like what's happening? And the idea was like in this multi-crisis world, actually like super hard to somehow keep it up, in the sense like which crisis we like now tackle first. And something what I have noticed, and I am actually super angry with it, is that I remember I was in the event which was like not European Union funded, but it was like private funding in Germany about youth activism in Germany, and it was made by two very foundations which was like sponsored by very rich people, and basically all the speeches like, youth, you have the power, you have to do things. And I was like, you have the money, you have the structure, access to all this, you are part of the thing. And then in the world where 8 million own as much as 3 billion people, I'm like, what's this pressure on youth? Because, for example, if we again look local and local things in Latvia, youth percentage of youth is the smallest percentage of society if we check the dynamics. Well, in the same time, as we know, for example, in all Europe, like we have more seniors than young people, and when we are calling the like pensioner continent, while other continents have super big percentage of youth. So I think we have to check in this context of like in which situation the youth is, because, for example, if the youth is a super big percentage of society, they feel they have the power. For example, like in Kenya now, like there's this Gen Z activism, in the sense like they have the power, they know they are not, and they can demand change because they are big in numbers, in the percentage of numbers. But in the same time in Latvia, where you see that the percentage is the biggest percentage of population is like 50, 60 plus, then the feeling that you can really demand change and even vote for change in a parliament or other elections is like lower. So I think this youth activism, somehow I think it's put a bit big pressure. But then if we put this like numbers behind, then behind numbers, for example, what I'm really proud, which we also actually, I realized when we were in Ireland, that actually we have very good, maybe Paula also can explain better, we have this law for youth, and actually it's demanded that each municipality has youth worker. So actually we know that we don't have loads of youth. So we are the ones we have, we really like state understand that we have to engage them, we have to give them opportunities, we have to understand how like in the level of communities we can help. And it's like systematical, it's not like just NGO work. So that's something I'm actually proud of. But it's just because we are like youth is not a lot in Latvia. So yeah, maybe Paula wants to add something.
Yeah, I will answer to the remarks that Laura sent my direction. That the organization that we visited and we talked about the youth was ECO UNESCO. So that's the answer to the first question. And the answer to the second question, or not answer, but like comment, is that yes, we have this law that every municipality should have a youth worker. And especially they can also outsource this to NGOs, but mostly it is people that work in municipality. And it's with the aim to reach as much as young people as they can. And also, I think one thing just to comment on that is that we just finished our dance and song festival here that happens every 4 years. And it's a big event, and there were loads, like I think there were like 38,000 of youngsters participating. And our president made the speech, and then he also said that you are our future. And I think that this is something that we are still working with, understanding that youngsters and youth, they are not our future, they are our today. It's not something that will happen in the future. We actually have to work with them today.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much. And finally, what advice would you give to global citizenship educators in other countries who are looking to build and strengthen their global citizenship education practice and network? We can start with you, Paula.
I would like to say practice what you preach in a way, or concentrating on the little things, is to find how GCE and the values, what it stands for, and could it be implemented and mirrored in our everyday life? And by doing so, it becomes easier to strengthen our individual and organizational practices. Because once you have the things in your heart, then it's way easier to lead the life the way you want it to be also. So yeah, that would be my take on that question.
Yeah, Thank you very much. And how about you, Laura? If you can offer practical tips, lessons learned, and encouragement to, you know, just partnership in building and strengthening global citizenship education practices.
I was once asking this to one professor, like, what's worth doing? Like, world is going nuts and like, it's just worse and worse because I'm dealing with climate anxiety. And the professor said, we just have to connect the dot. And then from one side, we are talking here about GCE and then it's global citizenship education. But it's not only one education which works with these problems. There's a human rights education, there's peace education, there's environmental education, and there's all kinds of organizations and the networks which are somehow feeling alone but in the same time working in the same things. And no wonder there was, for example, this project Bridge 47, which you can check out. It's already, I think, ended. There was this thing that, like, there is this aim for number 7 about sustainable education. And the idea was that, like, it's not about how we are called, it's about that we just need to have to come together under this aim to change and to improve, to have decent education. So it's something what maybe I'm also encouraging looking forward, just because your organization has, for example, different name. Because, for example, in Lapa's name as well, even we use the word development cooperation. So it means that, again, like, the names are changing as our understanding of the things are changing. So I'm just wishing not to focus on how we call things, but like about the aim, like to improve and change and really give opportunities. And that's something I would encourage, and to reach out even if you think, oh, that's something what I'm interested, but it doesn't matter that they don't use the same definitions and whatever. It's just like, it's about the thing that we have to do something together and like the way how to do it. Thank you.
That is well said. Thank you very much. And I think those are very good parting shots. Thank you so much for joining us, Laura and Paula. And many thanks for our listeners for tuning in to this edition of the IDEA Podcast, the National Network for Development and Global Citizenship Education in Ireland. You can learn more about IDEA by visiting www.ideaonline.ie. This episode is funded by Irish Aid at the Department of Foreign Affairs. Irish Aid is government's overseas development program. Irish Aid also supports global citizenship education in Ireland to encourage learning and public engagement with global issues. The ideas, opinions, and comments herein are entirely the responsibility of the Irish Development Education Association and do not necessarily represent or reflect the Department of Foreign Affairs policy.